You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
Everybody, we are back.
Hello.
Our podcast, episode 16. Good stuff. You can't say I just did thumbs up. So.
Lots to talk about.
Yeah, it's been kind of a busy, crazy couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Running kids back and forth. And
mm-hmm.
Just life.
Yeah,
life.
I mean, Killian had
white water rafting in North Carolina,
right.
Zip lining at the same place. It was like some kind of adventure trip, and
right.
Then 2 days later, he had a bowling trip,
mm-hmm.
Bowling laser tag,
right.
And then the next week, he went on a
an overnight survival.
Yep, survival camp and.
Learn how to make fire and purify water,
yep.
And how not to get triggers. He had a friend of his that had a bad time. And
poor kid, he got like beginning of the first night just eaten up with triggers,
yeah.
All the way to his waist.
Yeah.
And but you know what? I mean, there was a lot of the kids while we were leaving were coming up to him and telling him that he gained mad respect from them for the way that he handled himself. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that could have easily been a reason for him to say, can you please call my mom to come and get me?
Yeah.
And he didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, he stayed all night. He did all the activities the next day. And
yeah.
He sucked it up and
very cool.
Survived.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Yep. And last, not this past weekend, but weekend before Father's Day, we went up to Charlotte, North Carolina, and they had Heroes Con,
uh-huh.
And that was fun. That was real fun. Got to meet someone that kind of shaped I'm not going to say childhood because it was my late teenage years into my early 20s, when Ren and Stimpy was very big. Bob Camp, he was there. I didn't even know he was going to be there. I walked by and just saw him, and I was like, oh my gosh! And back in the early 90s, 92, that's how old I am, I'm dating myself, but he spoke at my college. So I went and talked to him and mentioned that, and he go, oh yeah, I remember being there and all this, and you know, evidently they had gotten a lot of complaints saying that his lecture wasn't educational enough. And I said, well, you didn't hear that from the students, that's for sure, because we had a blast. I mean, half of us were probably high anyhow, but really it was fun. you didn't hear it from me, but it is what it is.
He recognized him. I walked right on by and said, I'm gonna go sit down.
Where am I? That's the guy that did Ren and Stimpy. But yeah, he actually, from what he told me, he gave half that money back because he was like, well, I'm sorry if y'all didn't feel it was educational enough, here's half the money back. So now he kind of pads his speech with a bunch of nonsense.
It sounds educational.
Right. That way, you know, you get a little something out of it. But one of the other reasons we went, we met up with the guys that make Junior High Horrors, Rob. and for those of you who aren't aware, Junior High Horrors is a parody of horror. If you take your horror icons and make them 12-year-old kids and put them in junior high and deal with bullying and field trips and all that type of stuff, it's really fun. There's 5 issues out right now. The first 4, they have a trade available. And starting with the 5th episode, they have a font that is a lot easier for dyslexic people to navigate in reading, and I think that is fantastic. Go on my YouTube. I have a brief, 5-minute interview with Rob about that. It's on there now. Shows some of the book and some of the art, and that's very cool. Speaking of interviews and articles, the week before, we sat down with Ashley Morgan, who was in lead of this movie called
Headcount,
that came out earlier this month. And Michelle, you wrote an article. Your first article. That is up on farsightedblog.com, and that was a great
interview. Yeah, I had fun with that one.
Yeah, she was a sweetheart, and a lot of good stuff there, and a pretty good darn movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
good darn?
Darn good. I'm tired. And so are you.
Yes. I actually went back to work today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, and a type of work I have never done before, so my body is feeling it.
Yeah, you're normally a clerical type of person.
Administrative. Working behind a computer, and I had the opportunity to go back to that again.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute I got it, all of a sudden I just started feeling this weight on my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, I know I've got to go back to work. But that's not what I want to do.
Right.
I don't want to go back to that again. And thankfully, I was actually offered another job. And so I decided to go ahead and take that. And I am now working in a deli at a grocery store.
Right.
So it's completely not what I've done. And Killian actually brought up a good point when I was talking to him about it. And he's like, you just want a new experience. And I'm like, yes, that's it. If I've got to go back to work, I wanted a new experience. Right. I wanted something different than what I've done. And, this is different.
Yeah. You're frying chicken and lugging boxes and scooping potato salad.
Yeah, I mean, it, none of it is hard, quote unquote. It's just manual.
Right.
It's on your feet. It's just different. It's something that my body is going to have to get used to. And I mean, I'm not going to have long hours as some people do in there. I'm still only going to be working part time in the evenings. Got to be able to come home and still do podcasts. So,
right. I mean, priorities.
But no, I think I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm just tired today.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because, that's where I came from, all through high school, working in New York delis, and you and I met at Walmart deli. I was working there, so it's kind of...
Yep. Mm-hmm. See, and my dad's worked in delis in New York before,
right,
too.
Yeah.
So, this is not something new to the family, just something
actually,
new
it's
to kind me.
Of funny, because when we met, I was in the deli in the Walmart,
mm-hmm.
and you were working in law enforcement.
True.
And now you're in a deli, and I work in law enforcement.
Didn't think about that. That's true.
I just came to me.
But before we go much further, did we want to kind of backtrack a little bit to the news that I said we might be announcing at the end of the last podcast? Just talk about that very briefly.
Yeah, we can.
Or did you want to hold that for just a little bit more?
Let's hold on.
Okay.
Because that kind of goes into our social media battle-y thing.
We'll announce it this podcast. Just hold your seats.
Yep.
Don't get too excited.
Hang on. We're only 10 minutes in. We got plenty of show left. So headcount.
Yes.
Is that? That is on VOD right now. You can get it on Prime for, I think, like $3.
It's definitely worth it.
Yeah.
It's when I started watching it, it was like one of those ones where, I mean, nowadays it's so easy to say, okay, I'm just, you know, I'm thirsty, let me pause the show.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that became easy enough when VCRs came out, but still,
right.
You know, it seems even easier now for whatever mm-hmm. reason. But I didn't even want to do that.
Right.
I was thirsty, and I sat and waited till the end so I could go and get a drink.
But, you might have seen on Twitter, on Facebook, Buried Alive Film Fest. They've shown the new poster art. They're accepting entries for films and short films and artwork. So put your submissions in. Buried Alive Film Fest in Atlanta. That's in November. And even if you're not an artist, I could pick up on that mic. But
trying to keep myself awake, y'all.
But it's in November, and November, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to me.
But we plan on being there, both of us. I was there last year. We both plan on being there this year. So go. Come to Atlanta, hang out, have some great food, meet some great people, including us. Okay. So
we're not humble at all.
We're friendly. We like to meet people.
Yes. Yes. Which is what we were talking about earlier this weekend, is it's strange because I was not outgoing when we first met.
No.
I was very much an introvert.
Yeah, no, you not anymore. Yeah, no. You did a complete 180 on that, which is awesome. I feel like I've watched a million things.
Because we have.
In my head, yeah. I'm watching stuff. I've got DVDs piling up I need to review and watch.
You had 3 come in today.
Yeah, so I'm kind of excited about that. But for some reason, I was looking for something because all the Friday the 13th are on Prime, I think now, and between Prime and Netflix. But I was watching, I'm like, you know what, I want something a little refreshing. You know, not that I don't still love Friday the 13th, but I wanted something different. So I decided to visit the Hatchet franchise, and because I had only seen the first one, I hadn't seen 2, 3 or Victor Crowley, so decided to binge those on a weekend, and yeah, those were fun. Those were gory goodness. Kudos to Adam Green for that. I've always liked him. I remember when we watched Frozen the first time, it was one of those movies I was like, oh my god, it was just, oh, you know. So, Frozen, The Hatchet franchise.
Yeah, I didn't catch the first three with you. I forget what I was doing. I was probably either sleeping or playing poker on the computer. But
yeah,
I did watch the fourth one with Victor Crowley. I did watch that with you. And I liked that.
Yeah.
I did. Mm-hmm. You know, even though, I mean, we've talked before about how, like, the hacker slasher is not necessarily my my go-to. Mm-hmm. That's not something that I really like. Right. But I did. I mean, that one was that one was decent.
Yeah. And if you're going to do it and you're going to have fun, you got to go absurd, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what it was. It was completely absurd, you know? And, you know, I've made it known where... You know, Kane Hodder is not my favorite Jason. He is in what I feel the weakest of all the movies. I don't dislike him at all. I think we mentioned him because I saw his documentary. But Victor Crowley, I'm all on board for him as a horror icon. You know. So.
Well, my favorite part, though, was when we were watching some of the special, because the Victor Crowley we rented from, from the video store, so we were able to get some, like, extras.
Yeah.
And I really liked some of the extras when Green was going into how Victor Crowley came about.
Right.
You know, because they weren't going to make that one originally.
Right.
It was meant to
be
to end after three.
Right.
So that whole story, I mean, you know me, I like the whole...
Yeah.
Inside scoop of the behind the scenes, and that drew me in even more. So.
Right. Well, what you need to listen to, and I heard it today, and I mentioned it on Twitter, is Adam Green and Joe Lynch have a podcast together. Joe Lynch did Mayhem, the one with
with
Stephen Yeun.
That was a good one.
Yeah. They have a podcast together called The Movie Crypt, and they had completely coincidental, their guest this week, Derek Mears. Okay, so remember last week when I said, or last podcast where I said, Derek Mears, I'm inviting you on.
The invitation is still open.
Still open, buddy. But they were talking about Swamp Thing and everything, but... This was a really good 2-hour podcast. I recommend you listen to it, too. They talk about Swamp Thing, but they also talk about, you know, supporting your dream and going for your dream and actually working toward your dream and being with people who are going to support you in your dream. And it was just a good light-hearted, fun, you know, enlightening podcast. And, you know, I've noticed something that's been grinding on me. And we'll get to this later. I'm sorry. This will piggyback onto what we were talking about before, that we're going to talk about later.
Okay. Just don't forget it. Don't forget it. You got it noted somewhere?
Got it.
Okay.
So that's what I've been watching. You've been... You started watching iZombie.
Yeah, I started watching iZombie recently. I think I'm just a couple, maybe 5 or 6 episodes into season 2. So
I don't even know. That's on Netflix.
I don't even know if I look to see how many seasons there are, but I needed something to watch, and I'm like, you know... I didn't think I wanted to watch that one, just from different things that I'd heard. But I'm like, well, I can't. If I'm going to talk negatively about it, which I never did, but I shouldn't down something unless I've taken the opportunity to see what it's about.
Right.
So I went ahead and watched the first one. I'm like, okay. Moved to the second one. Oh, okay. Went to episode 3, and now we're in it. I'm liking the story. It really wasn't what I thought it was.
Right.
I think it's a different concept on the whole zombie apocalypse.
Right.
It takes it in a completely, because it is, people don't, I don't know if people realized it, because nobody ever, never heard anybody say it, but it essentially is a zombie apocalypse show.
Okay. Yeah.
Because zombies are living everywhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You just don't know it.
Right.
So, not trying to give too much spoiler, but, I mean, it's an old show, so it really shouldn't.
Right.
You know, I mean, basically what it is there are zombies that live among us, and they can be their old selves. Mm-hmm. They just need to eat brains in order to keep what the main character Liv calls full-on zombie mode, to keep that at bay. If you eat a little bit of brains every now and then, and she'll mix it, like she'll make pasta, but instead of having chicken in with the pasta,
she'll put a little brain.
Put a little bit of brain. Now, she works in the Emmy's office, so, and her boss knows what she is, so she can, I guess, legally get them. I don't know if you want to call that legally, but anyway. She can get the brains, and she has to use a ton of hot sauce so she doesn't taste anything because she's dead, so she has no taste buds.
Okay.
I mean, they do take it that far. But she's not the only one. I mean, you learn fairly early on that the story is based in Seattle, that there are hundreds of zombies living in Seattle, but they live among people.
Right.
And they just have to find their own ways of securing brains to eat.
Right.
And some of the ways that you wouldn't know that they're there is they actually will, because their hair, once they turn a zombie, their hair turns like white.
Right.
And their skin gets very, very pale. Mm-hmm. Well, Liv, the main character, doesn't do anything about it. She kept that hair and the lighter skin, but other ones, they will dye their hair what their hair color had been before.
Right.
And they'll spray tan. And so you wouldn't know. You would just think that they're living their normal life.
Right.
So it is, from that standpoint, it is a zombie apocalypse because there are zombies among us and they do need to eat human brains.
Right.
Which I know is. I know.
Don't you return the living dead.
But this time.
You started this whole thing.
But this time it sort of makes sense. Because especially for Liv's character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because what she does is working with the ME, she's discovered that when she eats the brain, she can take on the characteristics of the person whose brain that was.
Right.
And in this context, since she works in the ME's office, it helps her, she partners up with a police officer, and it helps her solve crimes. Okay. So it's also a crime drama.
So kind of like, well, what was it? Was that True Calling that had Eliza Dushku in it, where she would, like, the ghost of dead people would, like, call her to solve the murders?
Oh, it might be.
So it's kind of.
Well, that sounds ghost whispery.
Yeah, but it was before that.
Okay.
It was before she did Dollhouse. But
all that to say, it wasn't what I thought it was.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say it's not my favorite TV show, but it's not bad. No. I certainly want to see where it goes. Yeah. I want to follow it to the end.
Yeah.
And see where it goes.
Instead of that's on Netflix.
Yeah. You've caught bits and pieces of it as you're falling asleep.
Yeah. That's when you go going to bed. I fall asleep a lot quicker than Michelle movie. I'll pass out. But speaking of Netflix, the big thing that we've been, well, you had picked up on it and ran with it.
Sorry.
And I'm trailing behind like a.
But see, y'all, that gives me the excuse to watch it again.
Oh, right. And it has now become probably one of my favorite shows ever. Lucifer.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was another one of those ones, just like 7 seconds. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't fall asleep. I want something to watch. So I'm going through Netflix, and I see, you know what? Let me see what this is about.
And that was one that, when it came out, I'm going to be honest and say I kind of stayed away from. because I didn't know what it was going to be, and my right conservatism, you know, my religious right in me was like, wait a second, you know, you're glorifying the devil. You know, the things I make fun of now, you know, 4 years later, you know, 5 years later, you know, but hell, we binge watch Supernatural, you know, how many seasons of Supernatural?
Oh my gosh, because we didn't start watching it till they were coming out with season 11?
Like 11, so we binged 10 seasons in a couple of months.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
well, for that, some people can do that in a matter of 2 weeks. For us, it takes a couple of months. But,
but I mean, that was, you know, the same thing. You know, you got devil and God and angels and demons, and you know. So I'm like, okay, let's, you know, because you're starting with a premise that's not biblical to begin with.
Yeah.
Because, I'm sorry, contrary to what
popular
mainstream Christianity even believes, the devil is not in hell with a pitchfork ruling hell. The Bible never says it, folks. Mm-mm. I'm sorry. It doesn't. So how can you be, quote-unquote, glorifying the biblical devil by having him in hell and bringing him out of hell and making him a nice guy? How is that glorifying him when that actual portrayal wasn't based in biblical truth to begin with?
Right. Well, see, I explained that to our 8-year-old. Yeah, I've let our 8-year-old watch a few episodes, and, you know, I've talked to her about different characters, and she recognizes the names from biblical stories and things like that. And I'll tell her, you know, and the way that I explain it to her is, yes, the writers of this show took biblical characters, put them in semi-biblical stories, but then made their own stories off of this.
Right.
None of this show is to teach the Bible.
Right.
It is pure entertainment.
Yeah.
And that's how you have to see it. It's just pure entertainment. And I'm not afraid to say, but I'm to the point where I'm all caught up.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped season 4 in May. I've watched to the end of season 4. I'm waiting for season 5 now because it is official. It's coming out. But anyway.
And I'm midway through season 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm not afraid to say that I have sympathized with Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have cried at some of the things that his character has been through. And no, I don't feel guilty about that because he's not the devil.
So you have sympathy for the devil?
I am. Yes, I do. But I'm not afraid to say that because I'm sympathizing with a character on a TV show.
Right.
I'm not sympathizing with the adversary.
With Satan, right.
That's not, you know, so I love the show. I think Tom Ellis is.
Yeah, he's good.
He's his comedic timing, just the way he carries himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, his voice is amazing.
Yeah, okay, you got a crush on Devil. Okay.
I love you, babe. You're my husband. I love you.
Chloe's kind of cute, too. So. Just saying. And I think, I might be wrong, but I don't think I am. I will redact next time if I am. But I think she was the girl in the beginning of Texas Chainsaw Massacre who shot herself in the head in the back of the car. She was a hitchhiker girl.
You think she was?
In the remake, in the Platinum Dunes.
Would she have been
one with Jessica Biel.
Okay. Would she have been credited for that, you think?
Yeah. it was a, she had speaking roles.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's easy enough to look up, so I can do that as we're talking.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I mean,
excuse me.
I didn't deny it from the time that Dino started talking about it, is I'm glad that he got left behind because now I get to watch him again. And now I have a friend of mine watching it as well. I kept telling her she needed to watch it. And I had her watch one of the videos of Tom Ellis singing.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, okay, now I have to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she sent me a text the other night. She goes, Lucifer is awesome!
So there you go. Lucifer. Okay.
Okay, you're talking about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 03?
Yeah.
Teenage girl? That is her.
Hey!
You don't need to redact.
Boom! Okay. That is 100% this week on Dino Jerry.
That's not fair. That is not fair.
Oh, I need to get a handicap.
She didn't have a name, though. She's credited teenage girl.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was her.
Yeah, I mean, I know, I mean, we've watched it and stopped it and talked about it. Yeah. That's one of the things. The whole show, this is Lucifer Morningstar. His name is Lucifer Morningstar.
Yeah.
He tells people, I'm the devil. My dad is God. My brother
is an angel.
Is an angel. No one believes him.
They all think he's talking in metaphors.
In metaphors. Yet, he never says anything other than the truth.
And nobody believes him.
And, you know, in, what was it, Usual Suspects? When the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist? No. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled is hiding in plain sight. Because no one's looking for him.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, see, and that's, you know, we've talked about it before. As I just get done saying, you know, it's a TV show, I can sympathize with it. There are, there are certain theological lessons that you can pull from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're lessons that would match up with lessons in the Bible. So, you know, you can pull some of
those things. Right, you can glean.
Right. Well, I mean, you can glean truth from almost everything. There's always going to be a speck of truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's whether you want to look for it or not. But, yeah, I mean, I've learned different things from it. So it's definitely a very complex show, but entertaining to watch.
Right, like a main thing throughout. From what I've been seeing for the season and a half that I've been watching is the whole thing of, you know, I get blamed for all this evil, but you guys are doing it. I'm exposing it, but you're doing it.
Right. Well, I think that started in the very first episode.
Mm-hmm.
He literally, Lucifer's character, literally said, you know, everybody blames me for all the bad that goes on, but he goes, you guys do pretty well all on your own.
Yeah.
You don't need me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And essentially, what he's trying to say is, what I do in hell is really just my job of punishing people.
Right.
That's my job. My job isn't to get you guys to do the bad things.
Mm-hmm.
My job is just to punish you when you do.
Right.
You know,
which, once again,
not
isn't
theological.
That itself is not biblical.
Right.
But the fact that we Christians, even non-Christians who want an excuse, will blame the devil or blame evil or blame, you know, their personification of evil, where human nature kind of sucks. And, you know, that's really the point of the Bible, is not the devil, and it's humans kind of suck, and we need a savior. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's, you know, and there are so many things, and I might end up getting a little too deep here, and I apologize. I don't apologize. Yeah, sorry, no, not sorry. But most of the problem that people have with God in the Bible, they do not have with God in the Bible. The problem that people have with God in the Bible have to do with the way Christians misinterpret and portray God and the Bible. And this is going to be where I tack my point on before to the movie crit pop, is there was so much decency in that podcast between Adam, Joe, and Derek. And yeah, they're joking around and they're having fun and making dick jokes and stuff like that. Hey, great. But when they were talking about someone's problem, they were 100% genuine and heartfelt. And Adam went on this whole thing about thoughts and prayers. And he goes, I hate that you can't even use that term anymore because it's become just so cliche that it means absolutely nothing. And when you want it to mean something, it can't mean something because it hasn't before. So you gotta think of another way to say thoughts and prayers. But two things I get involved with a lot on social media is horror entertainment, horror 99% of what the entertainment is, and Christian theology. Those are two of my main loves. That's why we have this show. I meet more douchebags or talk to more douchebags in a day. Guess what side it's on? It is not on the horror movie side. It is on that Christian side.
Yep.
And that's to me, who is a Christian, and to you, who is a Christian. Let alone the people who aren't Christians, who they'd rather just go and crap on them than show them any sort of love and decency. Mm-hmm. And it kills me. It tears me up. It rips my heart out. And I don't blame people for not going to church. I don't blame people
for not seeking Christ.
Right. But please know that in its context, what the Bible says is not what a lot of these churches are teaching. It's really not. There are some really good ones that do. There are some great ministers that do. Check my Twitter page. I follow them and I'm friends with a lot of them. But there's a lot of loud voices who think they're John the Baptist, a voice crying out in the wilderness. But meanwhile, you're just that loud asshole on the corner with the bullhorn and the sandwich board. Mm-hmm. And you're doing nobody any favors. Most of all, God. That's my thing.
Well, and there was, I won't go into this, into the discussion. I don't know if we're necessarily going there now.
Okay.
But there, you know, there's two discussions that I want to talk about. But one of them, you know, talks about what you're, I'm not going to go into the topic of the discussion because I don't think we need to go there right now. But there was one woman who was just trying to express how she lives her life and how she shows love to those that she has the opportunity to invest in.
Uh-huh.
And there literally were over 90 comments about how, because she does not call out that specific sin, because she does not talk about how that specific sin is a sin, that she's not truly showing love.
Right.
And, you know, and she's on the flip side saying, you know, pretty much what I've said is, do I feel as Christians that we need to call out sin? Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a right way and a wrong way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot, I don't feel, and I don't feel that the Bible teaches us that we are to walk up to strangers
mm-hmm.
and call out their sin.
Right.
I don't think we should walk up to strangers and tell people that their sin is sending them to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the Bible teaches us that.
Right.
I believe that we are to be an open source
mm-hmm.
for strangers who do want to come to us because they see some kind of light
mm-hmm.
in us. But other than that, we're supposed to love them.
Mm-hmm.
And that means just treating them with decency and respect,
yeah.
investing in them.
Right.
And I don't think that involves talking about their sin. It's just being there as one person to another person.
Right.
And then when you've done that and they've seen how you have invested in them and how you do truly care about who they are,
mm-hmm.
then sometime later down the road, you may get the opportunity to speak to them about their sin.
Right.
If it's not you, you may just be the person who gives that, who waters them
mm-hmm.
and opens their heart enough where somebody else can come and speak to them.
Right.
But I feel that you have to earn the right to speak into their life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you haven't earned that right, then the only thing that God will hold you accountable for
mm-hmm.
is loving them.
Right.
Because I don't know, I have not personally seen anybody who has come to the Lord by being bashed over the head.
Yeah.
And if they have, it was not a true come to Jesus moment.
Right.
It was, I'm going to come to Jesus till my head feels better.
Right.
And then I'm going to go right back to what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I hope that makes sense, everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I know my repent or die bumper sticker has sent many people running to church in droves. I mean, that's how you do it, right? Repent or die and hunk if you love Jesus. That's our evangelism right there, right? That and the Jesus fish.
I think evangelism is action.
Oh.
I don't even think evangelism is speaking words.
Well, that's not lazy at all, though. I'm sorry. I'm full of snark today.
See, that's what happens when you're tired.
Oh, man. But, yeah. I mean, preach it, girl.
So are we going into it now then?
Preach it. Good. Well, you shouldn't be preaching because you are a woman. And women ain't supposed to be learning, talking Bible stuff. Sorry. Once again. Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the main...
Yeah, that was the other social media...
And I don't know, it's been big lately. I'm seeing it everywhere now.
Yeah, Relevant, Crosswalk, I think a couple of others. And a lot of it's coming back with Beth Moore.
Because uh-huh.
there's been like open letters written to Beth Moore about the way that she's talking about different either women preaching
mm-hmm.
Homosexuality or...
Well, wasn't she like saying something about like, when speaking with homosexual, just talking with them decently?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, wasn't that what it was? It wasn't like, you know.
She was basically saying what we just
not
said.
Not taking people and beating them over the
right.
head.
Right. She didn't say that, she didn't ever say one way or another how she personally felt about homosexuality.
But
she just said that treat them like a person with respect and decency.
Oh.
And she had an open letter written to her about, I didn't even bother reading, I'm going to say I didn't bother reading the open letter because it, the fact that it was even written to her.
Now, mind you, I don't really know much about Beth Moore.
I think I've read like a few of her a quick little like 3 or 4 day devotionals that's on YouVersion.
Right.
But I mean, I've never gone out and bought one of her books. I've never actually sat and listened to one of a whole one of her teaching sermons or anything like that. But because I think for a while she was more towards the prosperity gospel at one point.
I think so.
And I know a couple of months ago she came back and actually said she was sorry for that.
Yeah, okay.
That she realized.
Seems like there's somebody that's kind of reevaluating
how she
taking a step back. Mm-hmm. I mean, heck, if you would have called us 5 years ago, we were full on with hell and full on, a bunch of other stuff if we don't necessarily.
We have a new way of approaching how we live our faith, how we do church,
right.
And how we live our faith. It has completely changed. And one of those areas, which we've just kind of alluded to, is women teaching and preaching.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, I mean, we both held that you've got to read, was it 1 Timothy 2:12?
Yeah.
It's 1 Timothy 2:12, not 2 Timothy, right? Yeah.
First
Timothy 2:12, woman should not usurp authority over a man. She should keep silent in the church. And
now, we didn't mean that women should sit there and be quiet, but as far as, head pastor and all that should be a man. A woman can teach.
Right. A woman can teach women. A woman can teach children. A woman can even lead worship.
Right. But as far as overseeing a church, we felt that was biblically a man's role.
Right.
We have taken a long, hard look and pull back on ourselves, and
I have done a ton of reading, a ton of listening. And
I realized that we were mistaken in our interpretation. The Bible was not wrong. Once again, we were wrong in our interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I do think we need to preface this, as with anything, when we get to a stance, we will hold that stance 98%.
Yep.
I think you and I can agree that we will never say we are 100%. Because if somebody can show us that we're wrong, we'll switch.
Right.
Because we want to be in line with what the Bible says.
Right.
So, after the research that we've done, this is where we feel the Bible lands on that, on that teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody can show us that we are mistaken, okay, we will correct ourselves and, we'll adjust our beliefs. At this point in time, after what we've done, we do believe that we had been mistaken and that women can teach and women can pastor.
Yeah.
With saying that,
go ahead.
This is the announcement that I was going to give. Part of why we did all of this research and part of why it was something that, we really wanted to look into was because I was feeling the call to teach and to pastor.
Right.
And that started 6 years ago.
Right.
And I kept pushing it down because I had the belief that I couldn't do it, that I wasn't supposed to.
Right.
So I kept pushing it down, saying, no, this isn't what I'm, this isn't right. I'm hearing wrong.
Right.
I'm trying to live in the flesh.
Right.
there's something wrong about this. And I kept telling God, you know, why do I feel this way? Take this desire away from me. I don't want this because it's not right.
You're putting your wants over God's word, right?
Because and no matter what I did, it never went away.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are 5 or 6 years later, and it's still there.
Right.
And after we've done the research and after I've talked to different people, I have made the decision.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to go get my degree in theology.
Okay.
And I am planting a church here in our town.
There you go. Up top. There you go.
I'm not going to ignore it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's not what God wanted, he would have taken it from me by now.
Right.
And I would not still have this desire. And I would not still be receiving a direction mm-hmm. on how this church is to go.
Right.
It would have been gone by now because mm-hmm. I do believe God would have taken that from me.
Right.
So that is my news, everybody.
Yeah.
So along with starting a new job in the deli, I am now starting the process and undertaking of doing what I need to get the church planted.
Mm-hmm.
Starting, obviously, with all the legal things that I need to do, such as you have to go get a business name.
Right.
And I want to file my 501c3. So I've gathered all the information. I know what I need to get that done. Once I have that and it is a legitimate entity, I'm going to be reaching out here in the local community to find a core team of people. Mm-hmm. I do believe that God has them out mm-hmm. there waiting for me. Mm-hmm. Somehow we're going to get connected.
Yep.
And I already have a direction of the church. It is not what people typically think of church.
Right.
It is what I believe is closer to the churches in Acts.
Mm-hmm.
And if we looked at it today, it would probably be more reminiscent of a ministry rather than a church.
Mm-hmm.
But I see it as that's how I feel he wants this church to be. It's not a church where people are going to come in on Sunday morning and you're going to sing 4 songs. You're going to hear 30 minutes. You know,
3 hymns and a prayer and right, eat a cookie and
go home.
The message, right?
It's not going to be that type of thing. But I believe that God has all of this set in motion. And then at the same time, I will be going to get my degree in theology. I still have to decide on what school I want to go to for that. I've got a couple that I'm looking into. I've had some very good friends help me start that search. And just through talking through other people, I don't believe that I need to do the degree before I start the church.
Right.
I think it's something that I can do simultaneously. Right. I can be working on both things.
Mm-hmm.
Along with teaching my kids and working in a deli. So, and doing a podcast.
And doing a podcast.
So,
going to a horror film festival.
But I know that if this is truly what God has asked me to do, I'm going to be able to do it. And it's all going to work for his benefit.
Yes.
And for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know that we've got a lot of listeners that aren't necessarily Christians and, you know, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
And thank you for
sticking this out. Yeah.
Yes, and thank you for bearing with me as I went through all of that. However you want to keep me in your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
I will be thankful for that. Just keep me in your thoughts while I'm going through this. And for our Christian listeners, please pray for me.
Yeah.
And please pray for Dino and the kids because we've all got a lot on our plates.
Yeah.
I mean, because as I'm picking these things up, Dino's having to pick
mm-hmm.
other aspects up, you know, and he's been stepping up to the plate and doing more dishes and mowing the yard and taking the kids more places. And, you know, so when this is something that the family is going to have to work on.
Yeah. But, okay.
Hmm.
Well, that's it. We're coming up on 2 an hour, so we'll close this out.
Okay.
As always, I want to thank Farsighted Network, farsightedblog.com. Justin, thank you again for hosting us.
Thank you, Justin. Maybe one day I'll get to actually talk to you.
I said my video is on YouTube, podcast channel. The show's new article is up. I'll have a bunch of new reviews coming up either on the YouTube channel, on our Facebook page, on the Farsighted Network Facebook page, also Twitter, Instagram, all that. Nick Nelson Quint, thank you.
Yes, thank you guys.
Synergist Podcast, spelled the Sinner Way, and Split Frame of Reference Podcast, thank you guys. Pine Comics, I Heart Geek, Father and Son Watch Horror Movies. There's another great guy, Pastor Matt. Thank you. Say It Podcast, Keith, my brother. Have a good one. And I think we're done.
I think so.
Okay, guys. Hit us up. DM, Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Really quick. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Guys, make sure you check out. Dino's got some polls up there. We're looking at different, as TT would say, some merch.
Some merch. Yeah.
So we're looking at hats or T-shirts. Dino's got a poll up there of what you guys would prefer.
Yeah.
And if you guys can just go on there and let us know, mm-hmm. so we can kind of maybe nail down a direction with that.
Yeah, and even if the poll, the time for the poll is over.
Oh, yeah, just keep going.
Comment in the, leave comments on it. Yeah. All right? I'm always looking. You know that. Or, hit me up DM. I'm always willing to talk.
And if you guys have other ideas, if maybe a ball cap or a T-shirt's too common now and there's something else that you want, maybe we need to go the bumper sticker route or,
Yeah, I'm thinking that, bumper stickers, buttons.
Something that route. Let us know what you guys want.
Yeah.
Because if you guys aren't going to want it, then...
Then we're not going to make it because then we just lose out and I've got 9,000 hard T-shirts to wear. And I can only wear one hat at a time. So, okay. Be decent to each other. Love y'all.
Love you.
Peace.